Hey, welcome to this edition of Gospel Nobodies. My name is David Pinckney, and I am the pastor of the River of Grace Church in Concord, New Hampshire. I'm also the strategist, the rural strategist for Acts 29, and been an honor and a privilege the last 2.5 years to promote rural church planting in our global diverse family of churches, churches planting churches. And so Gospel Nobodies is live interview with one of our rural planters. And today I'm honored to have Nate Downing here with me from Eureka. So welcome, Nate.
Thanks, David. Good to be joining up today.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for giving up some of your time. And we're going to end up touching on the topic of endurance. But before we go any further, I think on this edition, there might not be a live option for questions. So, but we try to interact. And I do know that Nate would be happy to follow up if you want to interact with him personally. You can find him through all sorts of different means, but let's talk to Nate. So Nate, tell us a little bit about yourself, your biography. Like, where did you grow up? Where did you meet Jesus? Was that all in Eureka?
Yeah, I was born actually in San Diego, which is why I'm a San Diego Padres fan. But we moved up to Humboldt County, which is in the far northwest corner of California. When I was in kindergarten, my dad came up here to work for the sheriff's department, and he worked in law enforcement for about over 30 years after we moved here. So, and I've lived in this area the whole time since then. So I'm the oldest of six kids. So we had a big family and really enjoyed growing up here. We're on the coast. It's just an incredibly beautiful place. We've got the Redwoods, something called the Avenue of the Giants. It's been a great place to grow up and to live.
And, my wife and I drove up the Avenue of the Giants and actually had lunch with a friend from Concord, New Hampshire, here or there in Eureka. You're right. It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my parents, they grew up kind of in religious homes, but they didn't really start following Jesus until they got married and when I was really young. And so I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church, you know, all the time. We were super involved, and I knew all kinds of things about Christianity. I could win Bible trivia contests and all that stuff. And I think as a firstborn, and as an Enneagram one, I was like, I just felt like this obligation to be a good kid and to be a good Christian. And, but it wasn't really till I was done with high school. I was 17 and, I did move away for a couple years, and living out of the area away from my family, it was just like immediately felt this need to follow Jesus, to be with him. And so it's kind of like, oh, I knew about you, and now I know that I need you. And so I don't know if I think I could say that was my conversion at that point. And so really started just devouring the scriptures, got connected with the local church, and started serving in different kinds of ministries at that point. Got married when I was 23. My wife Dallas and I have been married for almost 17 years, and we've got four kids, 15, 13, 11, and 9. And we just got our first family dog. We got a Newfoundland puppy. So,
oh my goodness,
she's only 5 months old, but she's already getting big. So, yeah.
You got big trees there. You might as well have big dogs. My goodness.
Everything's big.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Eureka and why Eureka, well, and in somewhere. And they're like, how did you get called to plant a church? How did Jesus line you up for that?
Yeah. Eureka is, we call it the hub of Humboldt County. Humboldt County it's about the size of Connecticut landmass wise, but there's only about 135,000 people in that area. So really big, spread out. And Eureka's got about 27,000 people in it. and it's the biggest town in like a 3-hour radius. So we have a Costco and we have a Walmart and we have all the, everybody just has to come to Eureka for the stuff they need. And then they take it back to their little town out in the hills or whatever. And yeah, so it's the hub. And, you know, growing up here, I just always wanted to stay here. And when that came to following Jesus, serving in ministry, I just always felt like I wanted to stay and to, cause I saw a lot of people leave, you know, the typical small town thing is if you want to be successful or have any kind of ambition, you have to leave to go make something of yourself. And I just felt like I didn't want to do that. I wanted to stay here. And right after we got married, Dallas and I, we started going to a church that had recently started. We started learning about Acts 29 and church planning. And I started serving in a leadership role there, different way. You know, I was leading music and I was preaching occasionally, serving on the leadership team. And that church, it was probably the first, one of the first rural churches in Acts 29. And back when the assessment process was basically like, I know the right person. And they said, I'm in.
Yeah. That was about the way it was when I was in it. Actually, the guy I knew said, I don't think you should be in, but then I got the thumbs up I was in. So,
yeah. So, you know, and after a few years that church that we were part of actually closed, and early in Acts 29, it was said over and over again, you know, we're the only church planning network that has never had a church die. And so we were, I think, the first one.
Oh my.
The church that I was a part of. And
was that in Eureka?
It was in Fortuna, which is about just 15 miles south of Eureka. It's okay. Actually a smaller town. So very unique that we were in such a small area and we're connected with Acts 29.
Sure. Now you, just a little side note here, you have a degree and a career history in what field?
I started working for an architect when I was about 19. I knew this guy and he said, hey, I'll teach you how to draw and how to do plans for houses and for commercial buildings. So I started working for him, and that's led to just over 20 years I've been drafting on the computer and working in engineering and architecture. And right now I'm working for a company that manufactures retaining walls and concrete pipes. Super awesome stuff.
Well, you have some mudslides and rain problems at times. Well, oh, yeah. When you have rain.
Yeah, right. For sure.
So yeah, when we'll touch on the fact you're bivocational, but let's go back to so you were in the church in Fortuna, it closed, but how did you feel God led you to plant what's now the town church, right?
Yeah, that's the name of our church. You know, it was after our church closed, I was kind of left in this place where I'm going, I don't know, you know, what's our next step as a family? What does ministry look like here in Humboldt County? And I was going out to the beach almost every day on my lunch break, and I'd go pray. And I was just praying, God, send somebody here to plant a church, and I'll go with them. Like I'll give everything I have to it. And I was just praying, you know, raise up somebody here or send somebody. And after doing that for a few months, it became clear that the call was for me to do that. And I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't seeking it out, but it came, and it came clearly. And it was specifically to plant in Eureka, which I didn't really like Eureka as a town, because it was a little bigger And you know, it's not a big town, but it's for us, for me, it was like it's just that's the big city in our area, and I like being out further. And you know, it's dirty and it's cold. It's right on the bay, and it's foggy all the time. And it just it I never even liked going there, but God just started putting in me this love for Eureka, for the people of Eureka, and in a way that I could only describe as like the Spirit is moving in me to do something that I would not do on my own. If I was going to plant, I wanted to do it where I knew everybody, and to see, just it felt more comfortable. And but you know, we don't do this because it's comfortable, obviously.
Yeah. So the town church planted in Eureka. Eureka is kind of one of those middle towns where some people would go, well, it's not really a city, but for everybody up there, it is the city. But it's not like an urban city in the sense of what you think the word urban describes. So it puts you in a unique category, right? Like most people don't know where Eureka, California is. How close are you to the Oregon border?
We're about an hour and a half
Okay.
south of the Oregon border.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we do have, because of our location and because of the history of the area, we have some of the urban problems. You know, we've
Right,
got,
sure.
you know, a lot of homeless people here. We've got a lot of drug addiction, and they're usually, you know, our suicide rate, we have, you know, they're 2 to 3 times the rate of what the state of California is at. So we have a heavy burden of need, as far as the community goes.
Yeah.
And so without many of the resources to deal with those big needs.
Yeah. So you planted, it's going to be 11 years ago. Well, what year was that? That would have been.
2010, we
Yep.
started in the early fall of 2010.
I should have been able to do the math. Forgive
Okay.
me. Yeah. Well, and it's been easy, right?
Sure. Yeah, as
Yeah.
easy as it could be, I guess.
And you've been bivocational the whole time, correct?
Yeah, I've done everything from when we first started, the first 3 years I was full time. And planting, which was a big challenge.
You mean working full time? Yeah.
Yeah, working
Okay.
full time at my other job and planting. And then I've been in various degrees of part time since then. Sometimes it's 2 days a week, sometimes it's 3 days. Yeah, it's just depended on all kinds of factors. So have to be flexible, have to be willing to change up my routine. Which I hate, but it's just part of the deal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I so before we get, I want to talk a little bit about endurance because you're an endurance runner, but that's a great picture for what it takes to be a church planter anywhere, but it's particularly in a rural context where you're bivocational. I'm guessing that Eureka isn't the, you know, doesn't have its arms wide open to the gospel. But a couple other dynamics with that. I know that you've had a at times you've are you presently a solo elder? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Right now I am. I started originally with another guy we planted together. He became an elder after a couple years and served with us. He's gone out and is replanting a church in a little tiny, tiny town. I mean, it's not even really a town. It's just some buildings that are close together.
Looked it
But
up on Google Map. I mean, you said it was like 300 people out there, right?
it's way out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the resource challenge, both money and people, obviously COVID has created unique challenges. Now you had the sort of blessing of being given a building, correct?
Yeah, that's right. About 5 years ago, when we moved, we started renting this building. And after we were there for a couple of years, the folks there said, we're shutting down. We got to wrap up our organization. It's not a church building. It was like a Grange type building. And they said, you know, would you guys want this building? I mean, we have to get rid of it, and we'll give it to you if you want it. So it was like one of those stories that you hear. at some conference or something, and it actually happened to us. I like to joke that we weren't even praying for that to happen, and God did it. So yeah, it's pretty wild.
I don't know whether to be jealous or not, because getting, you know, given an old building can also be given a lot of headaches. But after we're 19 years been praying for a building, I'm going to stop praying that God would give us one and just see what he does. So let's talk about endurance. Like, so how do you stay sane? How do you over the long haul, Nate, stay joyful in the Lord? How have you made it these 11 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, I didn't start running and doing endurance stuff until a few years ago. And I've learned a lot of correlations between the two things. And I know, you know, we planted when I was 30, and I didn't have time to exercise. My kids were little. I was working a lot. And it was one of those things that I didn't have time for. And as I got older, I started recognizing not just the physical part of it, but the benefit of exercise and how it affects your whole life with your health, with your sleep, and with your mental health, just all kinds of things. And my wife, she was so encouraging, like, hey, I'd love to see you get healthier and have a hobby besides working. That would be good to see. And so running became one of the ways to help me stay sane, and to just to work hard at something else, have different goals, and apply myself to something else. And I think it's good for those of us who are in ministry in rural settings, and it's a general principle as well, to find something like that you can connect together, and you can see the correlation between your calling as a pastor to endure, your calling as a Christian to endure, and then finding something. And for me, it's been, yeah, I can go out and run all day in on the trails in the places that we live and be totally wiped out, but also it was a good day.
So this idea of running 50 miles, you said part of that is you like outdoors, you like to go to scenic places, and the only way to get there is to run there or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, there's places where we live. I mean, we're on the coast, and if you know anything about California, the coast is typically where people flock to. The real estate prices are crazy. But we've got sections of coast that are literally you can't get to by road. And so if you want to go see, there's a 30 mile stretch of coast called the Lost Coast, and you have to walk it, you have to hike it or run it or whatever to get out there. And there's places like that around here and in Oregon. You gotta find a way to get there. And it's pretty neat to be able to do it on your own 2 feet.
So a couple of years ago, you picked up endurance running, and the way that has helped you as a pastor and the call to endurance. You mentioned it, you know, first of all, the physical and mental nature of being healthier, right? And having something. So how many hours a week are you running?
Anywhere from 6 to 12 hours a week where I'm actually out running. It just depends on what my training schedule has for me. So,
wow.
Yeah, it can vary. And it's not always in the most beautiful scenic places. A lot of times it's just find a road somewhere and go do it for an hour, because that's all the time you have and that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Hey, I know that we're posted a lot. I see we're posted live now on Facebook. If any of you watching have a question, you want to post it in the chat or however you want to do that. I see that Scotty West says hi. Boy, Scotty, it's been a long time.
Scotty West.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Scotty West is who planted the church that we were part of when we first started.
Oh, wow. So I've known Scotty, you know, here we are talking about Scotty, right? Known Scotty since, man, the early days of A29. And man, I didn't realize that's where he was. That's pretty cool. What encourages you about what God has called you there to at Eureka? What like as you think of that, the church regathered after COVID. I mean, not that you have full freedom yet, but you're regathered. What's encouraging you?
I think it's to see God's continual faithfulness to his people through what has been an incredibly challenging time around the world. And I know probably everyone in every rural setting's had some kind of challenge that's connected to it and in some way. And just to see God continue to carry us along, to sustain us has been so encouraging to me. I think we often, we hear about suffering, we hear about difficulties. And the question for me was always, how will I really respond when those times come? You know, I've been, I think, blessed not to have too much suffering in my life. And I've always at the back of my mind wondered, what would it look like to suffer? And even coming through the past year, I don't feel like it's been a tremendous personal suffering, but seeing it happen on such a broad scale in our community, the ways it's affected people, and just to see people in our church growing in their faith through this time, seeing people, God calling them to creatively use their gifts in different ways that they hadn't before. It has been really hard, but to see that happen has just been beautiful. And the opportunities that have come up in our community to serve in different ways through this have been pretty neat, and just things that you wouldn't expect. And God's doing his work still wherever we are. And I love to see that.
You're an encouragement. That's that thought that, you know, you are preaching the gospel, trying to disciple people to maturity as a bivocational guy in a small town, Eureka, California, Northern California. And not that that wasn't your career choice. That was sort of God's like calling you as you were praying on the beach for God to raise up workers to plant a church. And yeah, that's super encouraging. By the way, Sam Duke from up in Oregon says hi. Hey, Sam, it's great to have you tuned in. We've got a few more minutes here. You're 40 years old at this point. I'm doing the math, right?
Yep. 40.
What would be some encouraging words you would give to guys considering planting in a rural place where they might be bivocational long term, and you know, they might get asked to be on Gospel Nobody's, but not on anything else than anybody else. Yeah. That's an existential question. Once you're on Gospel Nobody's, does that mean you're no longer a nobody? But since our viewership is about six, I think you're okay.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's helped me a lot is just learning to have the right kind of expectations. Mm. You know, when you get called to plant a church in a place like a lot of the people who might watch this, you're not doing it because you have a grand ambition as far as the world would see it. You know, we talked about it earlier, where if you want to make a name for yourself, you go to a bigger place. And so if you're being called into plant in a rural place, just know that from the get-go that your whole ambition is to make the name of Christ known. Mm. And you might be the only person for a period of time that's called to do it in that place. And by you doing it, you might be spurring someone in some other place to do it. Because, you know, it's to see that the example of someone doing that can be the moment for you as a planter, as somebody called into that ministry. So to have some kind of tempered expectations and then keep going back to the calling, you know, I go back to this verse in Acts chapter 18 all the time, where the Lord speaks to Paul, right? And he says, I have many in the city, yeah, who are my people. You know, and just thinking about the place that God's called you to, that Jesus has many people in that place. And if that's the heart of what you're doing, it's going to change your the metrics that you're using, how you measure your ministry.
That's great. That is great. And you know, you look on the faces of people that you've had have been a part of them coming to Jesus, and you realize that their eternal destiny has been changed, and they contribute to this glorious story that God initiated in Jesus, and that God loves to save people in Eureka as much as he does, you know, in San Diego or some other well-known place. So that's great. I appreciate your faithfulness, man. And what has struck me is, you know, I didn't know you were there when my wife and I drove through Eureka, stopped and had lunch with a guy here from Concord who's far from Christ. But once since you and I just talked about this, doing this interview, I was able to contact him. Man, if you ever want to talk to somebody about Jesus, here's my friend Nate, who's at the town church. And my friend there responded. He said, "I'll look him up." Now, I don't know if he will, but what thrills me is that God continually is planting his witnesses in these obscure and lost and unknown places for his glory. And that's so cool. Any closing words here, Nate?
You know, I'm just really grateful. One of the things that's been so awesome seeing Acts 29 lean into rural planting and resourcing people around the world, not just in North America. One of the things we struggle with so often in being in a place like this is the isolation and that feeling of I'm going it alone, because ministry is already isolating enough, but to not be able to just go meet with some other pastors, you know, once a month or something can continue to pile on that isolation. So I love the kind of resources we're getting, the friendships that we're building, praying for each other. You know, we're so encouraged getting to partner with like Stephen and Esther Salamo in Kenya, just from our corner of the world to where they are, to just be able to pray and support each other is a beautiful blessing. So if you are feeling isolated, you know, there's a lot of resources available just within Acts 29 to connect you and bless you and encourage you. And David, I thank you and your team for helping put that together.
Man, it's an honor, and I'm just glad to be a small part in what God is doing. And having grown up in rural New Hampshire, my dad being a rural pastor, I just know the value of that ministry and yet the challenges of it. So it's great to be a part of it. There's a verse I want to end with and then remind any of the listeners of other options when it comes to resources we're offering. But it says in Colossians 1, it says, May God strengthen you with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And I just pray that blessing on you, Nate. And thanks again for sharing a little bit of your life. And I'm just stoked that God has put you there. And may God continue to give you the endurance, not just to run 50-mile endurance runs, but to run the race of pastoring a flock. And if you're listening and you want to know of our resources right now, we've got these live interviews, and they're cataloged and libraried on Facebook, our Facebook X29 Rural page. We do webinars monthly. Now, we have not made those accessible after the live recording, except if you ask for them. Like last month's last month was just me, but no, it was a month before John Heinley talked about team building, or yeah, how to build a core team. And it was just tremendous. This coming month, we have, Patrick Bowler is going to be talking about elder development in rural places, and he's got some stories to tell. So those are a couple of the resources. We're working on a regular podcast that ideally will be out on the Acts 29 podcast page, but we're still working on that. Have a rural guy in North Carolina helping to format that. So, but if you need anything when it comes to like encouragement or connection, feel free to reach out to us. You can contact us on our Acts 29 webpage. And let's see, I see a note here from Scotty. How important would a life coach be to help things like time management and what and not how much to help? He's raising that question of a life coach. I believe it really be helpful for a young pastor. I can't agree with you more, Scotty. Do you have anybody that you sort of you would consider your coach, Nate?
Yeah, I've had different coaches on and off. I actually don't have one for pastoring right now. I just recently transitioned out of working with one guy that I'd been working with for a couple of years, and you know, I'm on the lookout for the next one because I think it's just helpful to have somebody. You know, the thing with coaching, and I've learned this from running actually, is you probably won't see much results in the areas that you're looking for unless you actually do the work. I've seen that happen where I get coaching. I guess I do Pastor Guide, which is Brian Howard's coaching, him and Justin Anderson. But I haven't been able to participate as much because my job changed the days.
Oh, man.
So I think you should always be looking for good coaching and then actually apply the work, not just taking in the information, but doing the work.
That's a good word to end on. And so appreciate you, Nate. Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in, and may God continue to give you stamina for the long haul, because we know how this ends. It ends in paradise. So keep it up. God bless.
Thanks, David.
Yep.